Bible this morning, if you will, to the Old Testament book, the book of Ruth, if you would. The book of Ruth, chapter 2, if you'd turn there. I've been preaching through the book of Ruth now for a few weeks, and want to continue that this morning. God led Ruth along, and what we've seen is up until now is the leadership of God as he led her out of the land of Moab into Bethlehem, Judah, and led her even to the right place to glean. Now we're going to see some intervention from above. It's always good when God reaches down and helps us, you know it? And so that's what we're going to do. So look, if we'll, Ruth chapter 2, we're going to read just a longer portion this morning, beginning in verse 5. Well, maybe we'll begin in verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she shall fall on her face. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. We're going to leave off reading there. So far as we've journeyed through the book of Ruth, the emphasis has really been on Naomi and Ruth. Well, this morning we want to shift that focus a little bit and put the emphasis on Boaz and take a look at him. Boaz is a great type of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll see that more and more as we go through the rest of the book of Ruth. And as I said to you, I want to preach to you this morning on intervention from above. Intervention from above. Boaz was a wealthy man, very wealthy man. He was a man of influence, but I think even better, he was a man of biblical insight. I believe he was a man, if we were talking about him today, we'd talk about a great believer, a faithful man. He was a cut above the average man of his day, and truthfully, the average man of our day today, all right? And now, by that, I do not mean that he was any better than anybody else. When you start talking like this, sometimes people today think, oh, you think you're better than them. No, not any better than anybody else at all. But he lived on a higher plane. He just lived on a higher plane. He lived a life that was more of what God wanted him to live. And what we're going to see this morning is, in these verses, we're going to see him, like the Lord Jesus Christ, reaching down his hand to one that was in need. And what a picture that is for us, all right? So if you'll just stay with me as we go through these verses this morning, And I want you to let the Word of God speak to you, would you? Let it speak to you. First of all, I want you to see there in verse 4, the Bible said He came to the field. He came to that field. This was the field that He owned. Verse 4, it says, "Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem." He came out to the field. In that day, the city of Bethlehem, Judah, was a small place. And what they would do, they lived in the city, but around the city was all the farmland. And so he came out from the city where he lived, out to where his farmland was, where they were reaping. He came out there because he was interested in the harvest, all right? He was interested in what was going on. It was his crop that they were gathering off of his property. And by the way, I'll say this, Ruth did not come looking for him. She wasn't looking for Boaz. I don't believe she even really chose the field that he was in and was his field. She didn't know it was his field. That was the leadership of God. But Boaz came to that field. He came to watch the reaping, came to see how the harvest was going. Can I say this to you? That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth. He came to the field. The Bible says the field is the world. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38, Bible says the field is the world. That's what Jesus did. He came to this field. He came to a world. Hey, by the way, a world that belongs to Him. It's His. You say, how you figure that, preacher? Well, who do you think made it? Who made it? If you're around your house, maybe you're a woodworker or something, and you make this bench and you design it, you lay it out, you fix it up, well, we wouldn't expect you to have that all fixed up and somebody come on and said, let me have my bench. You'd say, whoa, buddy, I made that bench. That's my bench. That's my bench. Hey, the Lord made this world. It belongs to Him. You know what? He's still interested in the harvest. Did you hear me? I said He's still interested in the harvest. It's His field. He's interested in it. He came, by the way, He came to pay for that harvest. You with me? He came to pay for that harvest. He came, the Bible said, unto His own, and His own received Him not, but He came to pay the price for your sin and my sin. He came to pray for that harvest, all right? Now, the world wasn't looking for Him, but I'm so glad He was looking for us. The world wasn't looking for Him, but He was looking for us. Now, when He got to the field, I want you to notice verse 5. The question He asked is, whose damsel is this? He took notice of her. He took notice of her. Hey, I want to say it. Boaz knew his reapers. Boaz knew his reapers. He knew the folks who usually came to that field to glean in his fields. Bethlehem was not a huge metropolis. All right? Wasn't some huge place where, like a Fort Worth or a Dallas where you can get lost. I went to high school at Carter Riverside High School over in Riverside section of Fort Worth. I graduated 4,000 years ago, and I graduated from high school, and in the time since I've graduated from high school, there was nearly 200 graduates that year. In the 51 years since I graduated, I probably haven't seen a handful of those people that graduated with me. Hey, in a place this big, you can get lost. But in Bethlehem, you couldn't get lost. Boaz knew those people. He knew them. And he took notice of this stranger who had come. And in one sense, didn't deserve to be there. All right? In one sense, the gleaning and the whole law of gleaning was really for the Jewish people. Now, there was allowance made for the stranger, but I'm saying mainly it was for the Jewish people. Boaz was watchful. He took notice of Ruth. Hey, aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ takes notice of you and me? Aren't you glad He takes notice of us, all right? The individual. The individual. I marvel in reading the New Testament of how much of the time that Jesus spent on this earth was spent talking one-on-one. Hey, it was one-on-one with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. John chapter 4 is one-on-one with that woman at the well. It was one-on-one. That Samaritan woman. It was one-on-one that day when he's coming out of Jericho, and this little short fellow by the name of Zacchaeus climbed up a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ came over to that tree, called him by name, said, come down here. I'm going home with you today. Hey, it's the individual. Hey, we can be sure, like Zacchaeus, that the Lord sees us. In this world of billions, he still takes notice of you. He still takes notice of you. You're not overlooked. Now, sometimes you ever get the feeling that, hey, nobody gives a rip about you? Man, most of us sometime or another felt that way. Nobody cares about me. And I'll tell you this, in this world of billions, you're not overlooked. He said, preacher, how can you be so sure? Well, this Bible says that he knows when the sparrow falls. If he knows when some bird falls, and he says you're more important than them, he takes notice of you. Boaz took notice of Ruth, and our Savior takes notice of us. He knows about you. He knows the situation you're in. He knows what you're going through, all right? But that's not all. He directed her, if you will. Look in verse 8. Boaz, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. He said, I've got some direction for you, Ruth. Now, this first time they had met. There was no, as far as we know, there was no introduction. There was no Ruth, this Boaz, Boaz, this is Ruth. There wasn't any of that. Nobody came along. Instead, Boaz took notice of us, of her, and he came over to her, and he had some instruction to give her for her benefit. And he said, hey, there's a right place and a best place for you to glean, and I just want you to know, go not into another field. This is the place for you, all right? This is the place for you. Boy, if ever God ever tell you that, you need to pay attention. And by the way, I think he does tell us that, all right? God help us to stay faithful to what he's called us and where he's called us. Just stay faithful to that, all right? Whatever it is, wherever you are, I'm going to be faithful because this is where God put me. And he said, abide here fast by my maidens. Hey, they were the best people for her to be around. I guarantee you, Boaz was a man of great character. Good, godly character. Now, those maidens he was talking about was people he knew. They had been under Boaz's influence. I guarantee you they were people of good character too. Or he would not have said to Ruth, you hang out with them, all right? These wholesome people will provide you some wholesome fellowship, and you need to stick with them. Can I say that? That's good advice for us. That's good advice for us. And you say, preacher, why you push going to church so much? That's one reason right there. Just one reason. You say, well, there's people here. I know them. They're not perfect. That's good. That lets us all fit in. Because there's not a one of us that are. And we've not got there yet, all right? Now, some of us are real close. No, we think we are, all right? But, we're trying to get there. But wait a minute. This crowd, the best crowd to hang out with, all right? I just want to suggest to you the best crowd to hang out with doesn't meet at Billy Bob's. That's not the best crowd in the world. Hey, you just hang out with those people. Give you some place where you can fellowship and feel good and enjoy that fellowship. Draw from that fellowship. Then notice what he said there to her in verse 9. He said, let thine eyes be on the field. Now, he was talking about a specific place. He was telling her, listen, I want you to stay focused right here. I want you to stay focused right here where I'm putting you. I don't want you to be looking around and therefore get tempted to cross the fence. Hey, it's been a universal problem down through the ages. We get the idea the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. We get the idea, well, if I was just over there, it'd be better. If I could just get there. No, it's not. It's not going to be any different. We're like the cows, and I'm sorry, but it's the only illustration I know, all right? You drive through, and I've driven through rangeland and a lot of places around this country, and they're huge fields. Grass all over those fields. There'll be one cow for sure with his head stuck as far through that barbed wire as he can stick it, trying to get one bite of grass on the other side of the fence. That's us. You drive by the daycares, Drive by the daycares. You see kids, they got all kinds of playground equipment, all kinds of balls, all kinds of stuff. There'll be one kid at the fence. We're never satisfied. It's always better. The Lord says, hey, listen, you stay right here. Keep your eyes, keep your mind focused. That was what Boaz was telling Ruth. He said, you stay focused right here. This is the best place for you. There's not a better place. I'll do it. But not only that, look at verse 9, would you? All right? Look at what he says there. After he said that, he said, have not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee, and when thou art athirst. Oh, look at that, would you? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Hey, our Lord not only gave her some directions, but he said, I'll quench your thirst. Boy, I said, I'm going to take care of that. You're going to get thirsty in working, man. She is working. It's hard work. And he said, you're going to get thirsty. When you do, I just want you to know you can come to where I've got water, and there's water there, and you can partake of it. Now, listen to me. The truth of the matter is that water was drawn for the reapers, not for the gleaners. But Boaz, talking to Ruth, says, look, you can go enjoy it too. It's been drawn. You can go for it, all right? It's been drawn. And I don't know about you, but if you're a child of God and you can't see the picture there of us, man, your spirituality runs pretty shallow. Hey, glory to God, our Lord has provided of the water of life freely for us. And he's invited us, come and drink. Don't lose your place here in Ruth, but go over to John, the Gospel of John in the New Testament, would you? The Gospel of John, John chapter 7. The Gospel of John chapter 7. It's easy to find John's, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all right? If you get anywhere past Acts or all of that, you're too far. Back up. In John chapter 7, I want you to look down, if you will, in verse 37. I want to read this verse for you there, and I want you to follow along. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what John 7:37 says. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst. Boy, I like that, if any man thirst. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In John chapter 4, he was speaking to that Samaritan woman at the well, and he was talking. She had a pitcher, and she's drawing water out of the well, and the Lord said, man, you know, I've got water to drink that you know not of. She said, well, you got to be kidding. You don't have anything to draw with. But in John 4, verse 14, he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. What a blessing it is. Boaz provided for Ruth, said, if you get thirsty, we can fix you up. We've got provision for you. Just come and drink. Quench your thirst. Our Savior says the same thing to us. He can quench your thirst today if you'll come to him. By the way, I believe in all my heart, the lost soul, the person's never been born again, there's a thirst within them. There is a thirst within them. They may not grasp what it is or why it's there, but there's a desire in them, and God's put that thirst, and he said in his invitation is, you come, and I'll let you drink. You come, I'll let you drink. Hey, the water's already been drawn. You said, don't have a bucket. Don't have a rope to let it down in the well. Don't have to worry about that. Water's already been drawn. The invitation, just come and drink. Come and drink. He'll quench your thirst. Oh, but that's not all. He satisfied her. Look at verse 14, would you? Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat. Look at this next 2-3 words. And was sufficed. What a blessing. He said, look, you can come. Boaz said, now look, I've got a table spread over here, and that's where the reapers eat, and I just want you to know you're invited. I want you to come. You can come and sit down with them. Now let me say this to you very carefully. Understand, that was not the way the average run-of-the-mill gleaner was treated. That was a special invitation to her. Special invitation to her. You come. Hey, the Bible said she was sufficed. She got enough. She got enough. She didn't leave hungry. You ever got up from the table hungry? Said, preacher, it doesn't look like you did many times. Well, I have. I have. I mean, I don't know what it is. There's just times that, I don't know what the difference on what makes it. Sit down and have a meal. The other day we went somewhere, we ate, and I told my wife, we left, got in the car. I said, you know, I'm still hungry. And it wasn't that there wasn't food, but it just wasn't satisfied. Just wasn't satisfied. But she left satisfied. She wasn't hungry anymore, all right? She did not leave hungry. What a blessing. Brother, you check this book out. You check out the promises Jesus Christ gives us therein, and you're going to find this. He'll satisfy you. He'll satisfy you. His invitation today is come and dine. Come and dine. That's it, in a nutshell. If you'll come, he said, you'll be fed. You'll be fed. Just go ahead, come and eat. Well, and I'll tell you, when he feeds you, he'll satisfy you. My personal testimony, I've taken the bread of life, and I'm satisfied with him and what he gives me. Just as satisfied. Couldn't have been satisfied any better, no matter what or who would have done it. He's satisfied. There's an old song that says, Jesus fills my every need. Every need he is supplying, and he is. He is. He's provided plenty, all right? The problem is, we won't come and eat. We won't come and eat. Boaz said to Ruth, Ruth, got a table? You come, you eat with the reapers. Now, Ruth could have said, oh, no, no. I don't want to put you out. I've had people tell me, I don't want to put you out. I said, you're not putting me out. You're not putting me out. It's there. There, if you want to eat, eat. No, no, no. Hey, in a case like that, Ruth could have said, no, I don't want to do that. I know that's not the normal way of things. She could have went home hungry. But she had the good sense to accept the invitation. Hey, that's the problem with a lot of people today. Don't have the good sense to accept the invitation. God says, come. We won't come. God said, look, if you're thirsty, come. I'll let you drink. He said, come. If you'll come, I'll feed you. I'll take care of you. I'll satisfy you. No, no, no. Or the famous phrase, well, I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite ready. Hey, listen, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? And he called her. He noticed her. He gave direction to her. He provided for her. All those things. But then he did something that you might not like. Now that thirst and water and food, oh yeah, amen, preacher, preach it, go on, preach it. But look at verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. He said, what are you saying? Well, he put her to work. He put her to work. I said, some people aren't going to like this too much. After she ate, she went back to the field. She could have assumed the attitude a lot of people in our world today assume is, well, Luke, you've got plenty. Why do I have to go out and work? Why can't I just live off of you? Why can't I just live off of you? Hey, Boaz had provided the place to glean. He had promised protection for her while she gleaned. He had said, man, I've instructed the young men, they better leave you alone. Now, you say, well, big deal, that's just Boaz. You go back and you'll read that Boaz was a mighty man. He was a mighty man. He was a mighty man of wealth, but he was also a mighty man. Well, if he told them to leave her alone, they knew they better leave her alone. So I'm saying to you, he said, here's a place you can glean. Here's protection while you're gleaning. And here's a promise that you can continue to glean there. But I want you to see this. He did not go and gather for her or have somebody else go get it for her. She worked to get it. She worked to get it. Now, my Bible says if a man won't work, don't let him eat. If a man won't work. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that incapable. Cannot. I'm talking about somebody that can work, and let them work. Let them work. It's God's provided all that we need for life. But he doesn't force it on you. God doesn't force it on you. But he does put it where you can get it if you'll go after it. He puts it where you can get it if you'll go after it. Now, the problem with a lot of people is they won't go after it. They're sitting back saying, let somebody bring it to me. You ever hear story? I think I saw this one time, maybe even on Hee Haw. Somebody telling a joke, they were trying to identify the laziest person in the world. They got it narrowed down to two guys. They're laying on the floor, you know, and they said, okay, fellas, here we go. We've got to decide between you, you know, and the only way I know how to do it is we just split earnings, you know. And he reached in his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill, and here you go. And one man reached for it, but the other guy said, could you just slip it in my pocket? Hey, that's the way we are. God provides, but you got to come after it. You got to come after it. It's provided. He puts it where we can get it. All kinds of help. By the way, especially in the spiritual realm, he gave you a Bible, all right? He gave us a Bible. He started the church. He left it here. He commands us to go. Can I just say to you, don't blame him if you go without in the spiritual realm. Don't point the finger at God. Well, it's his fault. No, it's not. It's your fault. God provides it. It's there. It's not going to be given to you. You're not going to be force-fed. But it's there. You can get it if you want to. You say, well, I need help in this area. God will give you that help. God will give you that help. I'll be honest with you. I believe this. If you'd come to church, anybody that'd go to church faithfully where the Bible is preached faithfully, they're going to get help every service. Every service. Sometimes people call the church and say, do you help people? I never have said it, but I've been tempted to. I'll never forget my uncle said, I'm thinking about doing it. He was a pastor also, and he said, people, do you help people? And he said, yeah, we help them three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If you'll come, we'll help you. Well, we're not here to hurt you. We're here to help you, all right? Hey, help's available. Help's available. But you got to come. You got to get after it. God put Boaz there, and Boaz said to Ruth, Ruth, now look, here's the field. Don't look somewhere else. Stay here. Stay here. And if you'll stay here, you stay around my maidens that are gleaning. You'll give you some good running buddies, if you will. And if you get thirsty, I've got the water for you. You can partake of it. And not only that, when it's time to eat, just come on, sit at the table with us. Just come sit at the table with us. And then he told her, he said, now, listen, you go and you glean in my field. It was all there, protection. Everything's provided, but she still had to go after it. Hey, the reason a lot of people wind up lacking is we don't go after it. We just don't go after it. But now I want to wind it up. Would you look at verse 16? Boy, he pays well. He pays well. Notice what verse 16 really completes the thought of verse 15. And Boaz commanded in verse 15, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Hey, the picture is that, and boy, you see that handfuls of purpose? Handfuls of purpose. The gleaners would go, and they got whatever was just left. You know, whatever. If you've ever done any harvesting, it is easy to overlook some of the harvest. See, I don't care what it is, picking peas, picking beans, cucumbers, squash. You got to dig through the plants and find the fruit, right? Find the produce. And it's easy to overlook something. That's why if you've ever had a garden, if you've ever talked to anybody that had a garden that raised cucumbers, sometime or another they come up with a cucumber that long. Because it got hid in the vines. And they didn't find it. Now, they're best picked when they're like that, all right? And you come on, or you come to a squash, monster thing, all gnarled up. It's been there too long, all right? Didn't get picked. Well, that was the gleaning. The gleaning is you get whatever gets messed by those that are harvesting, and they're going through harvesting, trying to cover the whole field. There's going to be some left. You can. The gleaners were to pick that up. But Boaz turns around to his reapers, and he said, listen, you see Ruth coming behind you? You take some handfuls, and you leave them on purpose. So she'll get them. Handfuls on her purpose. Now, she's working hard. He said, we're going to reward her for her effort. What a blessing. But can I tell you, our God will never be a debtor to you or anybody else. You mark it down. God's going to pay his debt for your labor for him. You'll work, he'll pay. He pays good wages. I'll never forget here some preacher years ago preaching, and he made this statement. He said, God will put the angels on half rations to take care of his servant. And I believe that. I believe that, all right? I believe he'd do it if it's necessary. God pays good, folks. God pays good. When he says to you, hey, if you'll serve me, when he told those disciples that day when he'd come along, find them maybe fishing or tending their nets, and he said, come follow me, they followed him. I want to tell you this. If you were to talk to James or John or Peter or Matthew, if you could have them come and stand right here and talk to them this morning, they'd say to you, boy, the Lord paid good. Man, did he forevermore pay good. He pays well for those that'll serve him. And he gives him. He said, you'll work, he'll pay. He'll pay. It's amazing. I think it was Thomas Edison that made the statement, it's amazing how good I succeed the harder I work. Good advice there, all right? Good advice. Hey, I want you to see this. I want you to see this picture of Boaz. Here's the man came to the field just like Jesus came to this world. He came here. He took an interest in the individual, just like Jesus came and took an individual interest in you and me. He took an interest in you. He gave Ruth some direction. He said, here's what you need to do. Our God's given us some direction, folks. He said, here's what you need to do. You want to have a good life? You want to have a contented life? You want to have a successful life? Now, just follow the direction. Just follow the directions. You want to do that? Then he said, look, if you get thirsty, I've got the water. I've got the water. The Lord Jesus, same thing. If you're thirsty, I'll provide the water. He said, if you're hungry, come and dine. Come and dine. You can put your feet under my table. I'll take care of you. I'll do it. And then he puts us to work. Hey, you know what? The one that enjoyed the most was Ruth, because she's willing to work. If she hadn't have gone back out in the field, the handfuls of purpose would have went to somebody else. But she was there. She got what God gave her. He paid well. Boaz saw to it that Ruth would be taken care of if she had just listened to him and do what he said. Can I say this to you? The Lord Jesus came to this earth for your benefit and mine. He didn't come for his own glory. He didn't come because he didn't have anything else to do, all right? But he came for the benefit of man, and he's left us some instructions. He's given us some directions to follow. If we'll listen, he'll see to it that we don't go thirsty or hungry. He'll see to it. He'll take care. His protection, his grace, they're always available. They're always adequate. Always. Always. And he pays those that labor for him mighty well. I ask you this morning, you listening to him? Are you listening to him, or are you listening to somebody else? Who you focused on today? Well, I'm listening to this person or that person. Wait a minute. Is what they're giving you biblical advice? Is it really follow the biblical principles? We get to listening to man, and man promises a lot, and he can't deliver. You get to listening to Satan. Satan promises everything, and he won't deliver anything. But the Lord says, would you come unto me? Would you come unto him? Oh, listen, my friend, you're here this morning. Maybe you've had a week and it's been a struggle and a hard time. Would you come to Him? You're a little thirsty. He can provide what you need. He'll give it to you. Would you come to Him? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would, please, this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd deal with hearts today. Lord, help us to see the truth of the Scripture. Help us to look at Ruth in this biblical account and realize, hey, that's me. That's me. I'm here in this whole world just gleaning.